Sunday school and youth group. I did forget one announcement. The free sale is this Saturday. So join over there. There's always good stuff over there. So I just found out Friday I was teaching today. Dad got a call that Uncle Tom was heading downhill pretty quick, and so he left, and I did the kerplunk method when preparing, and that's where you take the Bible and you kerplunk it open, and you see what you're teaching on. And so I turned in my Bible to John 15. And so I want to read through this. I'm going to read through it, but then I want to kind of talk about it a little bit. So if you guys would turn with me to John 15, verse 1. It'll be up there too, but I'm going to just read through it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words will abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. So I want to talk about vines and branches for a minute. You know, it says here that we are the branches. Oh, wait. Yeah. He says that he is the vine and we are the branches. But the branch has to be able to produce a vine. Because if the branch doesn't produce a vine, it's useless. Because if you don't produce a vine, there's no way to get fruit. And it says the way that you produce vines, I mean you produce fruit, is to abide in him. And so it reminds me of when the Bible talks about the sowers. And it talks about the seed that went into good ground. And it took root. Well, it took root because the soil was ready for it. And so we need to be preparing our soil and watering the branch and staying in the Word and abiding in God so that we will bear fruit. If we don't abide in God, and abide means to live in or to dwell in. It also means to take a course of action. The opposite is I will not abide, and that means I won't tolerate. So we need to not only tolerate God in our lives, we need to live in him. We need to dwell in him. And when he spoke these words, because this is all red letter. This is all Jesus talking. It wasn't just some random time. This was hours before he was taken to go to the cross. These were some of his parting words to his disciples. He said, listen, guys. This is the real deal. You are called to have fruit. You are called to produce. You are called to have wonderful things. But if your branches aren't getting watered and they shrivel up and they die because you're not abiding in me, then you're going to be cast out. And he said, that's not what I want for you. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to abide in me. I want you to move forward in your ministry because I've called you to do so. I love it when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The vine is where the fruit comes from. But you can't have a vine without a branch. So if there's the branch, but no vine, there's no fruit there. If there's no branch for the vine to be on, there's no fruit there. God can do amazing, wonderful things, and he's capable of anything. But he's telling us, right here, he's telling us, you need to be ready so that I can make sure that you're fruitful. One of the ways that he does this, we're going to go backwards a little bit to John 14, 25 through 28, and it says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He sent us a helper to help us abide in him. Anytime I study something in the Bible, unless it's a different book of the Bible, when it's different chapters, typically when these were written, they weren't written broken out into bits. It was a letter. And they were continuous. It's just when they were divvying things out, they said, well, that's a good stopping point. But I always read a little bit before and a little bit after to see if there's any context gained. And this was right before. It talks about, I'm leaving you a helper. And he's not only going to help you remember the things that I've told you, remember what you've studied, remember what you've read about. He's also going to help you interpret. He's going to give you understanding. I'm not leaving you alone to your own devices. Guys, we have the Holy Spirit, and all we have to do is say, Lord, I accept. It's a gift. He's given it to us. He's left the Holy Spirit with us. And all we have to do is say, thank you, Papa. And he lives in us. And so he's telling us we need to be living in him. I'm going to keep reading. So John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Is there anywhere else I'd want to be than in the Father's love? He's such a good God. I am so blessed that I have such a great dad. My dad, I mean, you all know him. If you're here, you know him. He's pretty awesome. And I am so, so blessed to have grown up in this house where I never felt that I wasn't loved or wanted. I'm so blessed, and I know that. But I remember up until I was probably 14 or 15, my dad would sit on the recliner, and I would curl up in his lap. And as I got older, I'd start curling up on, like, the arm of the chair because otherwise I'd crush him. But until I was, like, 15, maybe even 16, I would curl up in his lap, and we would just talk about our days. And I would feel so loved because I was living in his presence when I would curl up in my Father's lap. And that is such a powerful thing because God is there and he's saying, just curl up in my lap. Live in my presence. Abide in my love. I knew that when I curled up in my dad's lap, that it was never anything harmful. It was never anything but just, I love you, and I want the best for you. And that's the Father's love. That was my Father's love. And that's what God is saying to us, is that He loves us so much. And He wants us to abide in His love. You know, my dad had rules for me growing up, like most parents do. And the rules that he had were not because he didn't want me to have fun in my life. He had rules so that I would grow up to be the best me I could be. I tell my kids that all the time. I say, what's my job? And they answer, the first one is to keep me safe. When my son was like 3, we were in the middle of Target. And I said, buddy, what's my job? And he loudly, to everyone around in the crowded Target, goes, to beat my butt! No. Does that happen? Yes. Is that my job? No. But the first job is keep me safe. My number one job as a parent is to keep my children safe. And sometimes they don't like me very much while I'm keeping them safe. But that's my job. My job is not to be liked by them. My job is to keep them safe. And my number two job, I said, that's my number one job. What's my number two job? And my kids both know, and they'll say it without hesitation, to make me the best, or to help me grow into the best me I can be. And I say, absolutely. Whatever that is for you. My job is to make sure that you grow into the best you can be. And so that means that sometimes you're not going to like me much. Sometimes I have to cut out some of your friends out of your life. Because I can see you going down a path that's not good for you. Is it hard? Yep. Are there nights where we cry, where I hold my kids crying because they miss their friends? Yep. Absolutely. But they are better because of it. My daughter, who would not be happy with me sharing this, has gone through some struggles in her life. She's 11, but that poor girl has gone through some stuff. With friends, with adults that were in her life. And she has abandonment issues because of it. She has some serious issues, and she's gone through bouts of depression, and we've come against it, and we've battled it, and we've prayed about it, and we're getting her counseling, and I'm doing the things that I need to do to make sure that she can get through this and be the best her that she can be. And I know the signs to look for. She had a couple friends that she was hanging out with that I saw the signs coming right back up. And I said, you know, I'm going to dig a little deeper and find out why. Why is this happening? Why are these behaviors happening again? And so she told me some things about some of her friends that were happening, or that was happening under her watch, or things that they were saying to her, which were just mean and nasty. And I said, you know what? I know that this is going to hurt your heart, and I'm so sorry. But you are not going to be able to hang out with those kids anymore. You're done. They're done coming here, and this is nothing you've done wrong. But my job is to keep you safe. My job is to make sure that you grow up to be the very best you can be. And when you're around these people, this is not the best you can be. God is saying, abide in me, because I want you to be the very best that you can be. I'm going to read that again. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. His love is not always going to make you happy, His love is not always the gooey feelings. Sometimes His love is making you the best you can be, even when it hurts a little. If you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Again, I have rules for my kids because I want them to be the best them they could be. God has given us rules to follow, commandments to follow, because He wants us to be the best us that He can be. Not because He doesn't want us to have fun. Not because He doesn't want us to go and do things, to have experiences, to have a life. But because He wants us to be the best us that we can be. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because it's just so good. I love the Passion Translation because, and we don't have it for up there, so I'm just going to read it out. I love the Passion Translation because what they did was they actually went back to the original transcripts, and instead of translating from translation, they went back and translated it originally from the original transcripts. And so a lot of the things that are said have just a little different connotation because it's not a copy of a copy of a copy, right? So I love it. I love it. It's awesome. But verse 9 says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. I love that. Continually let my love nourish your hearts. Guys, I am not a gardener. I have a black thumb. My mom has like 6 green thumbs. She's pretty incredible. Her garden is always gorgeous. I did not inherit that from her. But one thing I know is that she always uses things like Miracle-Gro and fertilizer, and she cultivates and she nourishes the plants, whereas my plants are lucky if I remember to water them. Her plants thrive. Mine not so much, because they're nourished. They're getting the nourishment that they need when they're cultivated. And so us, we're called to abide in His love, to be in His presence, to dwell in His presence. And one of the ways to do that is the Holy Spirit, which we talked about. Allowing Him to be in our lives and to bring to our remembrance and to guide us and to show us what the Scripture is meaning for us today. That's one way. The other way is to actually get into the Scripture. Just saying. Verse 10 in the Passion Translation says, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually nourished and empowered by His love. I don't know about you, but I want to be empowered by the love of God. I want to be nourished by the love of God. Our God is such a good God, and He's so faithful. And yeah, sometimes it hurts when you have to get back on the straight and narrow. But it's because He's making us the best us we can be. He wants the best for us. So verse 11, we're going back to the New King James, says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Do you know that if we truly, truly believed, and I am guilty of this, so please, I'm the first in line to say my bad on this one. If we truly believed that our neighbors that don't know Jesus were going to hell, we would have them at our houses all the time saying, do you know Jesus? You don't have to. It's your choice, but I want to give you the option because I want to see you in heaven. there wouldn't be a church empty. Because we would be so full of God that said, we would be shouting it on the streets. You know, when I was a teenager, I was a little evangelist. If you met me in middle school, you were coming to church. One way or another, I was dragging you. If you were my friend, on Wednesday, my dad had this old van. I called it the clunker. That sucker was full of middle schoolers. Full. I mean, at one point, we had to walk home. I didn't live on the bus route. I lived about a mile and a half away from the bus route because I lived out of district. We would have to get off at the nearest stop and walk home. And then my parents would have to take two trips to the church because I'd have so many kids with me. And then I had one experience where one of my nearest and dearest friends got prayed over in the spirit and got laid out, and it freaked her out and she wouldn't talk to me for almost a year. And that experience caused me to say, nope, that hurt too bad. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to put myself in a vulnerable position because I might lose people. When in reality, I should be going, you know what? My comfort level doesn't really matter because I want to see these people in heaven rather than in hell. Because hell is a real place. I know nowadays it's not. People don't believe that. People just don't. They feel like they can do whatever they want to, and as long as they're a good person, they're going to be fine. But God says, the one way to me is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one gets to heaven except through me. I don't want my people in hell. And Father, forgive me for not speaking up when I had the opportunities to speak up. Because it's God's desire. He gives us all free choice, but it's His desire that not one should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Amen? I invited someone to church on Sunday, and it was Easter Sunday, and I said, you know, we're doing this Easter thing, and, you know, we're having church beforehand. Come on over, you know? And they said, oh, well, I'll support the church in events, but I'm not coming to service. I'm just not a God person. And I told him, I said, well, it's okay, because God's a you person. God loves you anyway. It's not our job to force people to believe something, but it is absolutely our job to let them know that something's there. Absolutely, we were called. We were commissioned. When an artist is commissioned on something specific, they're given what they need to do, and they've been given a commission. The price has already been paid, and they're supposed to do the work of art. God paid the price by sending His only begotten Son. We're just supposed to do the work now. It's the Great Commission. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Are you willing to lay down your social life for your friends? That's where I've been having a problem. I love my people. I love my people. I have so many family members. Just in general, that's a lot. I have over 60 cousins. Not a lot of them are Christians. I know they've all heard about Jesus. I know they have. My dad's told them. I've told them. But I'm not sure all of them are going to heaven. And that breaks my heart. I would love to say with absolute certainty all of them are going to be meeting me up there. I know there's people up there that are going to meet me. And I can't wait. But it breaks my heart that there's some that won't. And it's our job to give them the choice. Our job is not to take away people's choices. God gave us free will. Why would we take it away? Right? But we have to let people know that we have this amazing, amazing person. This amazing God that can come in and heal and restore. But it's also kind of hard to say that when you're not living it. It's hard to say, do you know what God has done for me? He's done this, 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 and this. And then having someone say, well, then why are you acting like this? Anyway, okay. I don't remember where I was at. 13. Okay. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I'm a friend of God. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have now made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love and know one another. I love this line. You did not choose me. I chose you. When I was probably about 10, I went to visit my grandma for the summer. And while I was there, I took a week and I went and saw my Nana and granddad, who are not biologically my Nana and granddad. They were my mom's youth pastors growing up. And my mom did not have a picture-perfect childhood, okay? And they kind of took her under their wings, and they spiritually became her parents. They loved her. They made sure that she had what she needed. They encouraged her. They discipled her. Ultimately, God is the reason that she went to Bible school and met my dad, but I think they had a pretty big part in it too. But I went and saw my Nana and granddad, and my granddad was the funniest person. He was so ornery, and he could make me laugh so much. I love my Nana so much, but my granddad and I, we had a connection. And probably because I'm pretty ornery too. But we had this connection. And I remember they sat me down at the kitchen table one day, and my granddad looked me in the eye and said, I need to talk to you. He said, you're adopted into this family. And do you know what adopted means? And I said, well, yeah, it means when you kind of don't have parents and somebody else takes you in. And he goes, no, that's not what it means. It means I've chosen you. It means you are loved. It means that no matter what happens, you have a place because I have chosen you. I did not have to have you in my family. You were chosen, and that's what it means to be adopted. And we are God's children because he chose us. Amen? And we chose him back because I could have easily said, you know what? This really isn't for me. I'm out. I reject this. And I could have walked away from that house and never seen them again. But instead, I chose to love them back and I became a part of their family. And they, to this day, are so special to me. they are chosen. And I was chosen because we were adopted. We adopted each other. And God adopted us. He chose us. We are friends of God because He chose us. And He left His Holy Spirit when He departed so that we would know Him, that we would understand Him, so that we would be able to go into His presence and to understand the mysteries that unfold. Worship has always been my thing. I can turn on worship and get into the presence of God. When I was younger, I used to dance at every service. I loved doing it. It's been a while, but I used to love doing it. I didn't care what anybody else thought of me because it was all about me and my Jesus. And I loved getting into His presence. I still do. And worship is still, for me, the utmost way to enter into His presence. I love prayer meeting. Guys, if you haven't been to a prayer meeting, we hold them on Thursdays at the church office. Come. Every time I go, even when I'm not feeling up to it, even when I don't want to, I leave blessed. Because it's so powerful. It's anointed. And you walk away and your spirit is just light because you've been in the presence of God. God has so many ways that we can enter into His presence and abide in His love. And there's worship. There's prayer. There's the Bible. How often are you getting into the Bible? And reading the Bible and understanding what it says. There's going to church. Do you know that we in America are so spoiled? We're so spoiled. We have so many churches to pick from. You don't like the worship in this one? Let's find another. Oh, the child care wasn't good at this one. I'm going to go see over here. Oh, the pastor was a little dry. You just keep hopping. Till you find a place. Do you know, or I'm offended. I can't go anymore. Do you know what Sister Susie said? In China, they don't have that. The persecution is real. It's called an underground church for a reason. I've heard testimonies of people that have gone to China and been to these underground churches and heard the testimonies of the other people. And there's people with missing arms and legs and families that have been killed just because they love God. And they show up to the same church every Sunday and they get on their knees and they praise God because they know that He is the ultimate, the Omega. The Alpha, the Omega, you guys know what I mean. And we get offended by Sister so-and-so and we walk out. I've always said that I feel like the people in the church are family to me. When I had my son, my mom and dad were out of town. I called somebody from the church. My dad is third oldest of 12. I have lots of family here. But I called somebody from the church to come with me because you guys are my family. And when people walk out the door, it hurts. Because it's like a family member just walks out of your life. And it's hard. And my dad is one of the most stoic people you ever know, but it's hard on him too. And I'm not saying that to guilt anybody. We're not a cult. You can leave if you want to. But when family gets together, we're supposed to have communion with one another, we're supposed to spend time together, and supposed to be lifting up the Word of God together. And I feel like that's something that has been kind of abandon. I love reading period piece books and watching period piece movies like Little House on the Prairie and anything from that time frame or even further back. I love it. I just love it. It takes me to a whole other time, and I love it. But one thing that I have always loved in any of these books, one of my favorite book series is Love Comes Softly. It's such a good book series. But one of the things that I absolutely love is that they have a little tiny church out in the prairie, has some pews. There's one pastor. And people come every Sunday, and they gather, and they spend the day together. And they get to know one another, and they're encouraging each other, and they're seeing if they need anything. And they sing, and they praise, and it's amazing. And there was one book series that I was reading about this time frame, and the people moved into the area, went to this new church, and they were just talking about how the singing was horrible. Nobody was on key. Everything was bad. It was just horrible. But God was there, so it didn't matter. They pushed through, and they got into the presence of God, because God doesn't look at how pretty your voice is. God looks at where is your heart at when you're singing. Is it back home with the enchiladas? Or is it here with Him? I love, love, love the song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I love that song because it talks about piercing through all of the dressing, all of the drama, all of the lights and the music and everything. And it goes back to, if I'm the only person left on this earth and it's just me and You, I'm still going to sing to You. I'm still going to praise to You. I'm still going to be here because I'm not letting the rocks cry out for me, because I'm here and You're my God, and I'm going to be praising You forever and ever and ever and ever. I love that song. There was another song that I heard on the radio once, and I haven't heard it anymore, and I'm so surprised it's not a powerful song, or it's a more popular song. But it talked about that, where, you know, if you take away the stage and the lights and the words on the screen, how many people are there really? To get to know God more. To get to know their Savior more. The person who literally laid His life down for His friends. This was hours before Jesus did that. He told them, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then He said, you are my friends. Those were the next words out of His mouth. A little bit of foreshadowing. Our God is such a good God. He's such a good God. And He loves me enough to lay down His life. The least that I can do is tell everybody I know about my Jesus. Amen. I'm pretty much done, so we're going to be done early today. I would love to pray. Could you grab John real quick and see if he can come and do a little bit of worship? I also didn't pray over the offering. It's been a rough weekend. I could use some prayer. I was in the emergency room most of Friday. I'm in quite a bit of pain right now, which is also why it's kind of a little off. But the doctors don't fully know what's going on, but God does. And so prayer, please. That'd be great. But let me pray over the offering. And then also just If anybody else needs prayer, please come up. Please join me up here. And I apologize if I'm a little scatterbrained today. So, Father God, we worship you and we honor you. And we're so grateful for this place. We're so grateful that you are the King of Kings, Father. We are so grateful that you laid down your life for us and that you call us friend. Lord, help us to abide in you. Help us to be in your presence. Help us to know you more. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to show us your signs and your wonders, Father. Lord, please bless the offering. Multiply it in the basket. Use it to go forward and do your good works, Lord. Lord, be with us and guide us and keep us safe all the days of our lives, Father. In your holy, holy name we pray. Amen.